What a great morning. Isn't it a great part of, as Pastor Mike read to begin, part of the goodness of God is that we have the freedom to be here. And I pray that we take advantage of that we use that between this service and the next service and our Tracy campus as well, that we see the goodness of God, and that part of that is that we can be together here and sharing in the worship and a corporate experience. Hopefully that's the overflow of our worship throughout the week, that we don't come here and try to just all of a sudden have this worship experience, but that it's more than just experience, that it's a lifestyle of our life. We've been looking at the series recently of what's the recipe? What is the recipe, especially as you come into summer with all the stuff that's going on, cooking, and some of you are great cooks, some of you don't like to cook. We've looked at all these different things, but today I want to look at, just jump right in, and so you got to catch on here and go with, what's the recipe as we look at for meat preparation? For meat preparation. Now, let me just give a warning out to Charlene. She's going to love me. If I delete, just skip right with me there, babe. Hey, hang on, okay? So I may just go with it here. We're going to test her this morning. For meat preparation. Now, how many of you, when it comes down to meat preparation, you know, I'm thinking basically not just, you know, some of you, not really about a hamburger, you know, or a turkey burger or something like that. We're talking about if you're going to grill something or put something in the oven, there's something about meat preparation that just really has, there's some meats that must be prepared in advance. If you're going to enjoy that piece of meat, if you're going to enjoy what you're eating, if it's not going to be so tough that it's like jerky, you have to do some preparation in advance. And usually what comes with the meat preparation is what we know as rubs and marinades. Different rubs and different marinades. Now, rubs and marinades have, I mean, people, if you are a person who cooks, you will have your own, you'll have your favorite, you'll have that which you don't like. This week I did some ribs and I had three different orders. I had, they wanted dry rub, they wanted sweet, and they wanted hot. And so on my grill I had them all laid out between dry rub, then the sweet, more of a sweet rib, and then a tangy rib, a hot rib. And so all of that takes different marinades. You can't use, obviously, the same marinade or the same rub for each of those kind of events, for each of those kind of meats. It won't come out, and you got to marinate. Now, if you know, I know Brian Thomas just went to a barbecue class yesterday, in fact, and I don't know if they got into rubs and marinades. There's some that you want to marinate for 24 hours. You have to. You just need to do that. And then there's some that you just need on for an hour. Then there's some that you're just not really even marinated much. I mean, it's just like right before you put it in, you dip it, and you marinate it, and you cook it. And that will depend on cooking times. And you say, Bill, where are we going with this? Well, there's a recipe for all of that. And you realize that when you have a rub and marinade, there's certain things that you do. First, the first thing that comes to mind is the reason you do that, why you do that, is for taste and flavor. I mean, the bottom line to any kind of rub or marinade that you're going to use is for taste. It's for flavor. It's to bring out. You're not trying to change it so much as you're trying to just really show the meat and the flavor that you have. You can add different things. You're trying to make it appealing. The bottom line, if you're a cook and who likes to cook, regardless of the meal, regardless of what you're doing, a meat or casserole, whatever you're doing, the point is you want them to want more. Is that not the case? Texas Roadhouse, okay, my people over here, they know how to do it right. But let me just tell you, if they didn't do it right, would people come back? No, okay? And so the reality is that when we do it even at home, you want to barbecue, you want to bake, you want to cook, but however you want to do it, you want to do it so that it's appealing and they want more. And so within that, there's a taste and a flavor and all the profiles that you use. Now, I'm not by any means, we have actual chefs in our church. I'm not one of them. I'm the backyard cook. I enjoy it, but that's what I do. Now, I try to read up on it, study on it, do different things to it. But basically, the bottom line is, if it doesn't taste good, you fail. No matter how fancy it may have looked on the presentation of that plate, it may look fantastic, but it may be fake food. I mean, it may taste bad. So the reason we do the rubs and marinades first is to have taste and flavor, to make it appealing. Now, the other reason that we do that for some pieces of meat is for tenderness. Because with the tenderness, as you rub it and as you marinate it, as you know, some of those marinades that you use, it's to make it tender and it just kind of melts in your mouth as that flavoring permeates and breaks down. And that's really what a lot of, in some pieces of meat, the reason that they have a rub and a marinade is so that it will permeate the meat and it breaks down that stubborn tissue and some of the stubborn muscle or the... It won't break down so much gristle, but just certain fat lines. You tenderize it within that. You marinate it so it permeates that. And then as you cook it, it just comes to really foundation within that. Now, can you see the analogy there for our own life? That if we are going to prepare, and we're going to look at this in just a minute, but if we're preparing for our life, that God prepares us. God prepares us as his people. Not so much meat, but as his people. And there's issues of our life that we're prepared for. And part of that, that we miss, is that what God is preparing within us, we're going to look at 2 Timothy in just a minute, but the issue of under good works, as he works within us, that time we looked at last week, those essential ingredients that must be in a recipe, real ingredients, not the fake. Not the fake butter versus the real butter, the bake-o bits versus real bacon, the sour cream versus something that looks like that. All of those things that really make the difference in your recipe, that bring it out, that bring the flavors out. But the bottom line for us as believers, that we want God to make us more appealing, to, really not to be like the world, but that the world would see something different in us, that they would want to be drawn to us. That they would notice a difference and they want to be more. They want to be more around us. And the tenderness that we bring is in the responses that we have to people. People of the faith and people outside of the faith. I'm telling you what. I mean, I've been frustrated personally about the way some people respond to others. It really, really is just, it's one of those things that's grating on me recently. We treat some people as if they're idiots. Or we get mad angry at such a stupid little thing that's going to pass. Certain little things that we just respond and we think, okay, I'm being funny or I'm being hurt or I'm angry. I'll couch honesty in a joke. But sometimes what God does in our life is he needs to permeate that with tenderness that we respond with gracious words. Not so much funny words. Not so much sarcastic words. Not so much demeaning words. But we respond in gracious. We respond with affirmation. Respond with encouragement. And you know what happens as God starts to work in our life within that? As we start to be in the Word as we looked at last week, as we start to look at those essential real ingredients, he breaks down those tough things in our life. Those tough wills that we have. And pretty soon, man, God, I don't want that characteristic in my life. And he starts changing us and molding us to be the image of Christ. Now, there's some foundation ingredients. You're going to get a little educated here for those of you who, most of you know this. But there's some foundation ingredients when it comes to marinades and when it comes to the issue of meat preparation. There's some things, there's some marinades that are salt-based. In fact, I would say probably the majority of ingredients, the majority of marinades and any dry rub is salt-based. Salt does bring the flavor profile. It also permeates, it tenderizes. But you may not, I'm not a salt-based guy. Now, there are also those who are soy-based. You'll see that you turn the ingredient over to a marinade, a wet marinade, and the first one may be soy, which is almost salt, but it's a soy-based, has a certain flavor profile. There are those that are sugar-based. Man, I'm telling you, if you're a griller and you have a sugar-based marinade, you're putting that in there, be careful putting it on the grill because it's going to turn black real quick. It's just going to go black because the sugar turns black. But some people like that sugar base. It's better to baste it on. But if you're going to marinate with it, you've got to cook it carefully. Cook it carefully. Now, there's another foundation that I like is a pepper base, a pepper foundation. Now, it doesn't have to be hot. It doesn't have to be habanero. It doesn't have to be any of that. But it's a pepper-based mix. In fact, I have a personal blend that a guy makes for me. It's a pepper-based dry rub that I like. It doesn't have very little. It has very little salt, but it has about five different pepper flavors in it. And it's not hot. It's just a little tang there. And some people like the pepper. And then there's those who are what I call the creative concoction. All right, so how many of you, with your raised hands, how many of you, some of you don't get in the kitchen, I know, so this would be just out of your league. But if you work in the kitchen, if you like to cook, how many of you are creative when it comes to marinades or rubs or a flavor profile? How many of you are creative? You'll just throw something in and do whatever, okay? Yeah, I saw Mike doing this. The eggshell is not too creative, okay? All right, some of you are, okay, here's the bottle, right? Here's the bottle. It says marinade. I take it, pour it in. That's all there is to it. Or a rub that you take and you put it in there, that's all there is to it. How many of you are, I follow the recipe only? Anybody, yeah, there's some of those. And for some reason, you're safe, usually. You're safe. I mean, there have been times that I'm the creative concoctor. I will tell you, I look across and I think, little ginger, you know, little this, little that. And I'll be creative. And there are some meals that I have totally blown away that, blown away would be a better word, maybe thrown away. Thrown away, and then you go back to the hot dog that is foul proof. You know, just you can't, you know, it's foolproof. You can't ruin it. I will do the creative this. I'll try it with fish. I'll try it with any kind of thing. I'll be that creative concoctor. And you know what? There's some also foundation ingredients. As we looked at last week really in depth, I was in Tracy, of course, And I looked at these, so I'll run over them for us because last week I wasn't here. Ben was, and I don't know that he covered all these in the same fashion, but there's some foundation ingredients that we have as a believer, as one who knows Christ, if we're going to know the recipe for living like Christ. First is salvation. Salvation is just that basis to know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not because of this church, not because of these walls, not because you're here, not because you're a good person, not because you're a bad person. The issue is salvation by grace, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Not passed down from generation to generation, but you've had a time in your life when you realized you needed a Savior and you changed your dependence from yourself to that of the Lord Jesus. There's another foundation ingredient is the Word. That we talk about the Word. I challenge the people in Tracy. It's easy, and I think Ben did this here as well. It's easy to say we talk about the Word, but are we in the Word? There's a lot of great study helps. There's devotional guides. There's all kinds of things you can look at. But it says the Word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, and I encourage you to be in the Word. I'm old-fashioned. I still make my notes on yellow pad and all that, and it's hard for me, though I use it at times. I use it on my phone. I'll bring up the Bible app, and I'll read the Bible. The Word is the Word. It doesn't matter what venue it comes in. I understand that, but for me, it's still like being in the Word. I like the pages, okay? I'm old. Some of our young people probably don't even know what a Bible actually is, except it's an app on the phone. And it's okay, but understand the Word is important. It's what changes us. And we need to be in the Word, not just reading about the Word. Another essential ingredient is prayer. I challenge you as well. I challenged people last week in Tracy that we need to pray about things. Oh, many of you talk about praying about them. We need to pray about this, or I need to pray about this. Would you pray for me with this, or would you pray for this? But do we actually pray, or do we just talk about prayer? It's amazing when we still our hearts, we humble ourselves, and we actually pray. I encourage you to write your prayers. You really want to know you're praying about something? Write it down. Dear God, man, talk about focus. Focus on what you're praying about. Journal them. As I started journaling my prayers, as I started writing, there's so much that comes to mind, how much many of my prayers were so selfish, or how distracted I got when I was just trying to pray in my mind. My mind would go here, here, here. But boy, when I focus on writing my prayers, saying, God, now I realize you can't do that driving down the road. That's not a healthy thing to do, is pray without ceasing. But there's times we need to focus our prayer, not just talk about it, but pray, really pray. I think as well we need to live engaged. Part of our foundation is being engaged. Being aware of those around you, being aware of the situation around you, where you can see the wonder of God on display, where you can see where you can have an input, or an impact, where you could maybe begin a conversation with somebody. To have that engagement, to be engaged in our culture with the Christ culture. We are ambassadors. Ambassadors don't stay at home. Ambassadors go to a foreign land. They go to a foreign place. They go to a foreign kingdom. And we are ambassadors who are supposed to leave this place and go to a foreign kingdom of the world and make an impact there to represent Christ. To be engaged with that, to know what's going on. I think we need to live with intentionality and to be intentional in the way we live. We will walk out of church on Sunday mornings and be gone. And as I said a couple weeks ago, if this is the only meal that you get for the rest of the whole week, you better pack up right now. You better start eating, because you're gonna be dead by the next week. If you go out to lunch after church here, you better eat big, or go to Kent and Charlene's house, one or the other. I don't know, but you better eat big. Because if you don't eat the rest of the week, you're going to be just dehydrated and famished by the next Sunday. The same is true spiritually. If this is the only place that you get fed spiritually, if this is the only place you come and hear the Word, if you're not living with intention to be in the Word, to be engaged, to feast on God's Word and to feast on God's people, to live with intention, then we're going to dry up and we will not make an impact for the kingdom of Christ. My creative concoction when it comes to spiritual things is somehow we need to start to come back to the issue of saying, God, to be Spirit-led. To dream, to have spiritually inspired dreams, spiritually inspired goals to say, man, I want to lead that person to Christ. I want to impact that situation there. I want to do this. I want to do that spiritually. Ask God to be that spiritual led person. Now let me give you some foundation for all of this. Because the bottom line is what we're spiritually prepared for is that we're going to be good. We want our meat to be good. We want that meal to be appealing. And we as believers are to be equipped to do good. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, or correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. I questioned some people this week about what that means. Have you ever thought about what good works he's talking about? Because there's a dichotomy that comes. There's a good work that says, Man, our goodness is nothing. Our deeds are as filthy rags. There's no. But yet, and he says that we're equipped for every good work. Well, there's obviously a selfless, selfish good work that's for us. That's ego. But there's also a good work for the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It talks about the issue of what we have before God and the issues of our life. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. And why? So that they would praise your Father in heaven. That they would praise your Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 25 as well. Another passage of our good works, he says. Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. He says, For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see a stranger and invite him in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see sick or in prison or go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. There is an essence of good works that we need to be equipped to do. I think there's other analogies that he uses in the second chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. I have fought the good fight. He says, we are to fight the good fight. Are you understanding that when he says that to fight that good fight, that analogy of we endure? He says, I have finished the race. There's verses that go along with this, but for sake of time, trust me, go and you can look them up. Ephesians 6:11, Acts 20:24. He says, I have kept the faith. Galatians 5:6. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It all boils down to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we talk about being prepared for works and things. We see this in Scripture. We see this. We see the principle and the practice. We see the principle and the practice here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writes, he says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. That's the principle. That's the principle of our faith. He says, I remember everything. I remember with joy. I pray for you with joy because I remember the principle, your work produced by faith. That's salvation. Not your work produced faith. You're not producing faith. But as I remember your salvation, the work that was done in your life by faith in God, the changes that were wrought, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love. They served. The principle was that they had a change of heart in their work produced by faith in Christ. And that next was the labor prompted by love, that labor that was prompted to serve of love, not out of anger, not out of fear, not out of guilt. And the principle of endurance inspired by hope. That endurance, that steadfastness in hope. What was the hope that we see? To the return of the Lord Jesus. But it didn't just give us the principle, it also gave us the practice. For in that same passage of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the principle is given in verse 2 and 3, he repeats down there in 9 and 10. But this time it was the practice. For he says, the Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Do you realize that? In fact, he goes on to say, your brotherly love and compassion has been gone around the world. It's just spread like wildfire, how you love one another, how you love the Lord. Therefore, we do not even need to say anything about that. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell, here it is, here's the practice, the principle put into practice, how you turned to God from idols. There's a work produced by faith. To serve the living and true God, there's a labor prompted by love. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. To wait for his Son, that endurance. That we in our life, to be prepared, to be marinated, is that are we the visible representation of Christ to this world? Is Christ preparing us in our Christian life as we prepare that meat to tenderize us for our response to the world, to tenderize us, to break down our will, to look to the things of God. Are we that visible representation of Christ to this world? Do people see in us? Is it known everywhere that I turn to God to follow Him? And that I serve Him out of love? And that I wait for the glorious appearing that one day I'm going to kiss this place goodbye and I will be in heaven? And that gives us hope and that gives us endurance. See, God's preparing us just like we prepare a meat that will be appealing to taste. And when we lift up Jesus, when we take that, when we realize that we are saved by grace and people see that we're changed and we serve out of love and that we have a hope within us that the world does not have, when they see that hope, when they see that response, it will draw all men to Him. Why? Because when we become like Jesus, when we lift up Jesus, people will be drawn to that. It's more than just Sunday morning. It's more than just coming and saying, oh, here we are. But it's saying, God, prepare me. Marinate me in your word. Put me into the change mode. In this series later on, and I thought about this because we're going to be talking about time and temperature. And boy, when you get that meat marinated, that time and that temperature, some of us, we don't face it here, but there are believers around the world who God is preparing, who is marinating them, who's created them, and they are suffering because they are under time and temperature. We have such freedom here, we don't have that heat. But there are people and places where they feel the heat of living for Jesus. And it brings out the flavor of what we marinated and prepared for. This morning, are you being marinated by God? Are you spending time in the Word? Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you spending time in the Word and you're praying and you're saying, God, man, make my life, make it tender, make it appealing, make it that which people want more so that they see you. And it says that they may see your good works so that your Father in heaven may be praised. Not about ego, but that all glory would go to Him. Let's pray. Father, this morning there are many of us in different ways, in different situations. But I pray that we would see as well that you want to do a work within us. That you want to do a work marinating us in the new way of living, of knowing you. And Father, may that marinade take hold in our life. And may we be appealing to those who see Jesus in us. May we be the visible representation of you to this world. And therefore, may any of the good deeds that come out of that give you glory and give you praise. Fortunately, let me pray. Amen. Pastor Paul.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for a wonderful word this morning. Thank you guys for being here. We're so blessed that you guys have shown up. Thank you for the way that you sacrificially serve. You give your time, you give your energy, you give your effort. Thank you for that. Thank you for the way that you sacrificially give as well. Our giving boxes are in the back here. And right over there behind Russ and Joy, you guys, God is using you guys to help the ministries here at Grace continue. So thank you so much for that. If something Pastor Bill has said sparked something in you, or just God is working in your life, you need to pray with somebody. We have Russ and Joy right over there. Please take them up on that offer. They want to pray with you. They want to pray for you, and they're right over there. Go this week. Be the light in someone's life. See ya.